Well, hello there. Thanks for joining me today. I'm going to talk today about polio and measles. I've joked in the past about FDR in that wheelchair. Well, keep in mind, of course, I'm not really joking about handicapped people. These people are psychopaths and deceivers. So is he really rocking that wheelchair for serious? Or is he just too lazy to walk? Let's take a look. Before we get started, it's always a complicated time when we try to advise others about, well, should they take a vaccine or whatever, because most times it's unsolicited, right? And one thing that I've always lived by, and I don't always manage it well, granted, is we can't convince and antagonize at the same time, because we all have views that we arrived in with time. Others also need to breathe. In the end, it's their decision whether we like it or not. If you want to destroy your relationships, then of course, start telling everyone else what to do with their bodies. Shout it from the rooftops. Send them endless emails telling them how wrong they are. But maybe we are the ones doing it wrong ourselves. Our approach appears to be a bit bulky and controlling. Patience and kindness might be stronger tools to have in our toolkit. I have never said once, do not take a vaccine. I've just tried to show you why it may not be a good idea. But at the end of the day, I am just one person online. And I have no right to order you around this way. It doesn't work that way. It's like when someone we care about ditches an abusive partner, the last thing we should say is, great, he was a loser, or it's all about time. Because remember, they spent time with that person, okay? So if our knee-jerk reaction is to pile on to them, well, it's probably not going to work. The best thing to do is always just to listen. The number one thing that all of these victims, and I mean all of these victims, is saying they were all lacking that one person to hear what they had to say. Be that one person. Be that one person. That's a simple solution, right? And if you know how to have good listening skills, people will tell you more and more. I hear stories all the time. People used to ask me, how do you hear all these stories from people? Well, I don't know. People like to tell me their stories because I listen to them. And so it's interesting because I get to meet a lot of people in different parts of life and things like that. And I get to hear their stories. And I find it very interesting because it's their story, not my story. Because we didn't also know all this all along. We gathered around, we heard about things, and people closest to us likely weren't part of all of this. So now is probably not a good time to make them the outsiders and losers. We know more if we look more, and that does not make us smarter. And lording information over others absolutely will not open up communication. You cannot antagonize and persuade at the same time. And that's where psychopaths get it all wrong. They do not understand that basic premise. If they had played this differently, they might have pulled it off. So maybe we should think about our words and weaponizing information. Maybe not use words like, well, I told you so. You should have agreed with me ages ago. Because you will hear people say things about people are now coming forward with their vaccine injuries. That is very, very sad information. Now is not the time to lord over them and say, well, you kind of had this coming now, didn't you? So you will also hear people talk about, you'll say, oh, you anti-vax people, you must like crippled children because you all think polio is a good thing, or you would not be wanting them to have those vaccines. They were actually shut down the war in Gaza for a polio vaccine. I'm here to tell you it is dangerous. Now, whether you decide to take it on your own is a different subject. But before I get started, I mentioned that I tend to look for where these people come from. Luigi, Luigi, the guy, Luigi Mangione, comes from a prominent family in Baltimore. Wow, who else lives in Baltimore? Well, Nancy Pelosi and that mafia-run organization there in Baltimore is Nancy Pelosi's hometown. And he belongs to a prominent Maryland family known for their real estate and philanthropy. He went to an all-boys private school in Baltimore. So I would say, and I also always look up where they live, and actually, this family, compared to where the Pelosis lived in Baltimore, quite a short distance. I find it very hard to believe that they never met each other. But hey, that's how it works, right? They all know each other. And just yesterday, Martha Moxley's mother, if you ever thought that was a fake case, well, it was. Martha Moxley was that fake Kennedy case. Not going to go there today, but her mother just died at 92. And she's in her picture holding her hand in a perfect six. They all have a tell. Do not forget this part. They are very, very proud of who they are. So before I get started, you know, I had a few shows removed by YouTube. let me get to that in a second. I updated my timeline. I found a new source for information, and I have tons and tons and tons of information, and the link will be down below. I had information before from a person named that Israel Zeus person, and this is not the same information. This is different information. Do I know they're the same person? No, I don't know that they're the same person or not, because first of all, I wouldn't ask them, but no, I can tell by the writing that it's a different group of people. But anyway, so I have that posted below, and I got quite a bit of it updated on my website, so you might want to take a look. Basically, everything I've been saying is right there with a lot more details. So what I found interesting about the shows that YouTube decided to pull was this, is that, you know, I had uploaded about 50 or 60 shows over there, and during that month, before I said anything on my podcast. And when I mentioned that I'd been on YouTube uploading shows on a podcast, well, the next day they started giving me strikes. So this was done by a person, okay? Those strikes I got were done by hand, okay? There's a difference between when the bots get you and somebody goes in by hand. So first they removed and gave me a couple of community guideline things, and then they started with the strikes. So now I have two strikes on YouTube. Three strikes and you're out. So what did they want removed? Well, the show that I did about why the black left eyes on celebrities, that Black Eye Club, they removed that. I have that show about transgenderism and the hormones, remove that. I had that show about them spreading feces all over hotel rooms and stuff, and how the hotel industry is complicit in the sex trade industry and child trafficking business by their omission of certain laws about hotels. So that one got yanked. And also, they must not be proud of the fact that they chased down children in the woods, because they also yanked the show about Hansel and Gretel, about them chasing down children in the woods. So, yeah. Looks like they're kind of worried about those four things. It must have been hard to choose. They kind of lost track of what I was up to, it seems. Okay, let's talk FDR. Was he really in a wheelchair? Excuse me. Was he really in a wheelchair? Well, hold on a second. I got a cat in the area. This could get catchy. I might have to put it on hold real quick, but let me keep going here. So was FDR really in a wheelchair? Well, maybe. I see him in pictures in a wheelchair, but polio is a fake illness. So how exactly did he get polio if polio wasn't really a disease, right? So, so I thought, well, polio wasn't a disease because they've been making up all these diseases. And of course, FDR couldn't have had polio, right? So, but let me walk you through. Okay. I'm going to put this on hold for a second. She's making me a little bit jittery, howling next to me. Hold on. Okay, so where was I? Let me see here. Okay, so let me go through what I understand about the polio and the polio vaccine. The polio vaccine received FDA approval and licensure after 2 hours of review. the fastest approved drug in the FDA's history. And I'll read you a piece about what they say about vaccines, because we're going to be talking about measles and also polio. Outbreaks and epidemics of measles, whooping cough, and poliomyelitis diseases, that's polio, in unvaccinated and fully vaccinated populations. The Amish are a religious community living across the USA that claims religious exemption to vaccination. Thus, the vast majority are not vaccinated. They had not reported a single case of measles between 1970 and 1987, 17 years. At the same time, non-Amish, highly vaccinated communities still reported 2 to 3 year epidemics. Despite this obvious vaccination failure, pro-vaccinators claim success with the measles vaccine. In 1982, just when U.S. Secretary of State Joseph Califano Jr. planned to announce eradication of measles, a well-vaccinated Amish population started reporting huge outbreaks. So it was a well-vaccinated, non-Amish population, and they were having huge outbreaks. The unvaccinated Amish did not have large epidemics of measles until much later, starting in 1987. Outbreaks in the fully vaccinated American children continued with increasing frequency and severity. Without disclosing the vaccination status of children in measles epidemics, claiming victory over measles is just empty jabbering. Moreover, vaccinated children started developing an especially vicious form of atypical measles. They described the occurrence of atypical measles in children given formaldehyde treatment, aluminum precipitated measles vaccine, also referred to as a killed measles. He explained the problem as due to the altered immunology host response caused by vaccination. Later on, when live attenuated measles vaccines were introduced, the recipients started developing atypical measles from it as well. They described 9 cases which occurred in 1963 during a measles epidemic in Cincinnati. The authors followed 386 children who had received 3 doses of killed measles vaccine virus in 1961. Of these 386 children, 125 had been exposed to measles and 54 developed it. The authors concluded this: it is obvious that 3 injections of killed vaccine had not protected a large percentage of children against measles when exposed within a period of 2.5 years after immunization. Because we're really talking about 2 vaccines here, one that is a live virus and the other is killed. Okay. So this doctor goes on to say, this doctor later explains how diseases such as whooping cough and measles can occur in even younger children, not because the unvaccinated are spreading them, but because babies are born to vaccinated mothers who transplacently transmitted immunity, which normally protects small babies against contracting any infectious disease. She continues by adding that breastfed babies of vaccinated mothers are 3 times more likely to catch measles than babies breastfed by naturally immune mothers. children of mothers vaccinated against measles and possibly rubella have lower concentrations of maternal antibodies and lose protection by maternal antibodies at an earlier age than children of mothers in communities that oppose vaccination. This increases the risk of disease transmission in highly vaccinated populations. So who was behind all this stuff with these polio things? Well, it was the March of Dimes, a huge campaign. At March of Dimes, we are working to end premature birth and birth defects by advancing policies and programs to ensure all babies have the best start in life. At the March of Dimes, we are also working to strengthen women's health before, during, and after pregnancy through research, education, advocacy, and community services. Specifically, we work to reduce premature birth, birth defects, and infant mortality. This is just amazing stuff, isn't it? All these things they're saying they're going to do. Too bad they didn't do any of them, right? So they make a lot of claims, right? And they do things to get us to do them like them. Like, for example, we're in this monkey see, monkey do thing. Angelina Jolie supposedly had her breasts removed from fear of future cancer. So, yeah, I don't think these March of Dimes people are up to any good, but let me keep reading here. The polio vaccine is often referred to by those who believe in vaccines as the ultimate example of a vaccine that eradicated a terrible disease that is no longer with us. The science and history of this vaccine tell a vastly different story. There has been more than one type of polio vaccine through its history, due to the fact that earlier versions were found to be ineffective and harmful. The occurrence of polio was trending downward prior to the introduction of polio vaccines. The reported effectiveness accredited to polio vaccines can actually be easily accounted for by data manipulation and not actual decreases of occurrence. The history of the polio vaccine is a history of contaminations of the vaccines responsible for the injury and deaths of countless people. The New York Times published a story about new strains of the polio vaccine being developed. Here is what they wrote concerning the current strain of the polio vaccine. They have two versions. They're giving out the cheap version that is actually now giving children polio in third world countries. Isn't that nice, right? So the Sabin vaccine has drawbacks. However, it contains a still live virus that was mutated long ago so that it is usually too weak to produce disease. In rare cases, it can mutate back into a dangerous form that paralyzes or kills. And the vaccine, that's a Sabin, S-A-B-I-N vaccine, is risky in children with immune system problems. For those reasons, the World Health, who are you going to call, plans to eventually phase it out. I found an article, The Sordid History of Poliomyelitis Vaccination. When the vaccine is called the Salk, S-A-L-K. When the Salk injectable formaldehyde killed polio vaccine was tested on some 1.8 million American children in 1954 and 55, cases of paralysis in the vaccinated and some of their contacts started occurring within days. So there was some formaldehyde put in this Salk injection. So people started getting paralyzed. The Qatar laboratories were accused of distributing vaccines containing live poliovirus. Disasters with the Salk vaccines causing vaccine-associated paralytic polymyositis seem to have been one of the main motivations behind development of an oral live attenuated Sabin vaccine, which was believed to simulate the natural infection. However, the cases continued occurring with the Sabin vaccine. This person went on to say, I spent many hours locating and reading the older and more recent articles addressing the effectiveness or otherwise of combining the IPV and the OPV vaccines. I established that the results are not straightforward. Abraham reported that shedding of virulent polyvirus during immunization with oral vaccines. I don't know. I got lost there for a second. What they're saying is, in recent years, great alarm has been generated by outbreaks of this paralytic polyarthritis or polio in vaccinated populations. Epidemics were observed in Finland in 1984, Senegal and Brazil in 1986, and Israel and Oman in 1988, all countries in which vaccination is widely deployed. Four epidemics were reported between 1991 and 1992. The first in 1991 was in Bulgaria, which uses oral vaccination. 43 subjects developed paralytic type polio. 88% of them belonged to a normal community and had not completed or even started a vaccination schedule. The second epidemic occurred in the Netherlands, where inactive polio vaccine is used and involved 68 patients. So, there's a lot of issues with all these vaccines, and I'll have all the information down before. The one that was a problem was known as the Qatar incident, C-U-T-T-R, because the vaccine was manufactured by Qatar laboratories. Within days of vaccination, 40,000 children were left with polio, 200 with severe paralysis, and 10 deaths. Shortly thereafter, the vaccine was quickly withdrawn from circulation and abandoned. Gee, maybe they should have spent some more time testing this, right? Just like they had to rush out that virus, the latest one, right? To the contrary, officials at the National Institutes of Health were convinced that the vaccine was contributing to a rise in polio and paralysis cases in the 1950s. In 1957, Edward McBean documented in his book, The Poison Needle, that government officials stated the vaccine was worthless as a preventative and dangerous to take. Some states, such as Idaho, where several people died after receiving the Salk vaccine, wanted to hold the vaccine makers legally liable. Dr. Salk himself testified in 1976 that his live virus vaccine, which continued to be distributed in the United States until the year 2000, was the principal, if not sole cause, of all polio cases in the U.S. since 1961. So, right here, they're saying that of all polio cases in the U.S. since 1961. However, after much lobbying and political leveraging, private industry seduced the U.S. public health services to proclaim the vaccine safe. All this occurred in the 1950s, the same private industry game plan to coerce and buy off government health agencies has become epidemic with practically every vaccine brought to market during the past 50 years. And keep in mind, vaccine stands for VACA, which means cow. They started this with cows. And keep in mind, these people consider us cattle, right? Today, U.S. authorities proudly claim the nation is polio-free. Medical authorities and advocates of mass vaccination raise the polio vaccine as an example of a vaccine that eradicated a virus and proof of the unfounded herd immune theory. Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, a nephrologist, that's a kidney doctor, and one of today's most outspoken medical critics against vaccines, has documented thoroughly that polio's disappearance was actually a game of smoke and mirrors. Yep, that's those gypsies, isn't it? By 1961, the polio vaccine should have been ruled a dismal failure and abandoned, since more people were being paralyzed from the vaccines than wild poliovirus infections. The 1950s mark a decade of remarkable medical achievements. It also marked a period of high scientific naivety and enthusiastic idealism. Now, this is about eugenics. This is the plan, not the bug in the system. Paralysis was not only associated with polio infections, but also a wide variety of other biological and toxic agents: aseptic meningitis, Coxsackie, echoviruses, arsenic, DDT, and other industrial chemical toxins indiscriminately released upon millions of Americans. In addition, paralytic conditions were given a variety of names in an attempt to distinguish them. Although some, such paralysis due to polio, aseptic meningitis, and Coxsackie were indistinguishable. One of the more devious names was acute flaccid paralysis, or AFP, a class of paralysis indistinguishable from the paralysis occurring in thousands within the vaccinated population. It was therefore incumbent upon health authorities to transfer polio vaccine-related injuries to non-poliovirus causation in order to salvage vaccination campaigns and relieve public fears. They noted a direct relationship between the increase in the AFP during 2011 and government claims of declining polio infections, the rates parallel with increased vaccinations. One of the largest and most devious medical scandals in the history of American medicine also concerns the polio vaccine. In an excellent history about the polio vaccine, Neil Miller shares the story of Dr. Bernice Eddy, a scientist at the NIH, who in 1959 discovered that the polio vaccines being administered throughout the world contained an infectious agent capable of causing cancer. As the story is told, her attempts to warn federal officials resulted in the removal of her laboratory and being demoted at the agency. It was only later that one of the nation's most famous vaccine developers, Maurice Hilleman at Merck, identified the agent as a cancer-causing monkey virus called SV40, common in almost all rhesus monkeys being used to culture the polio virus for the vaccine. This contamination was found in all samples of the Sabin oral polio vaccine that was tested. Yeah, they all had this monkey virus, which was SV40, which was cancer-causing. The reason they're after all this cancer business is to destroy our DNA. Now, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense right now because, well, I guess if you destroy people's DNA and they're still having children, that would make the children all crippled, right? So, So the containment was found in all of the polio vaccines. The virus was also found in Salk's killed polio injectable vaccine as well. No one knows for certain how many Americans received SV40 contaminated vaccines, but some estimates put the figure as high as 100 million people. That was greater than half the US population in 1963 when the vaccine was removed from the market. Many Americans today, and even more around the world, continue to be threatened and suffer from the legacy of this lethal vaccine. Among some of the more alarming discoveries since the discovery of SV40 in Salk's and Sabin's vaccines and its carcinogenic footprint in millions of Americans today are this. Loyola University Medical Center identified SV40 in 38% of bone cancer cases. That's pretty crazy, right? So what's happening is you get this vaccine maybe as a kid or something, right? Then later on, the cancer starts showing up. So they found the same thing, the SV40 in 38% of people who had bone cancer cases. 58% of people with mesothelioma cases, a life-threatening lung cancer, had also had SV40 present. A later analysis of a large national cancer database found mesotheliomas were 178% higher among those who received the polio vaccine. So, they found mesotheliomas 178% higher among those who received the vaccine. Boy, I'm starting to see a pattern here. I didn't have to go to science school to figure all this stuff out. It seems more dangerous to me, but we all have to make our own decisions. A study published in Cancer Research found SV40 in 23% of blood samples taken and 45% of semen samples studied, thereby confirming that the monkey virus can be sexually transmitted. This thing called osteosarcomas are 10 times higher in states where the polio vaccination contaminated with SV40 was most used, particularly throughout the northern states. Two 1988 studies published in the New England Journal of Medicine discovered that SV40 can be passed on to infants whose mother received the SV40 tainted vaccines. Those children later had a 13 times greater rate of brain tumors compared to children whose mother did not receive the polio vaccines. This would also explain why these children's tumors contain the SV40 virus present, even though the children themselves did not receive the vaccine. There is a large body of scientific literature detailing the catastrophic consequences of SV40 virus infection. As of 2001, Neil Miller counted 62 peer-reviewed studies confirming the presence of SV40 in a variety of human tissues and different carcinomas. Although the killed polio vaccine administered, so they give the people in third world countries what's the killed vaccine, and that's the reason because it doesn't need refrigeration, all of that. So they say, although the killed polio vaccine administered in developing countries no longer contains the SV40 virus, the oral vaccine continues to be the vaccine of choice in poor developing countries because it is cost-effective to manufacture. Safety is clearly not a priority of the drug companies, health agencies, and bureaucratic agencies that push the vaccination on impoverished children. After almost 60 years of silence and a federally sanctioned cover-up, The CDC finally admitted several years ago that the Salk and Sabin vaccines indeed were contaminated with the carcinogenic SV40 monkey virus. Yeah, they're always talking about these. They were talking about monkey viruses, weren't they? Like when this thing all got going, they were showing people, they were claiming they had monkey viruses. What I found odd at that time, I'm just trying to remember. Yeah, when they were talking about monkey viruses was when this whole thing got started. And they were showing people that supposedly have the monkeypox things on their hands. What I found interesting during that time was that those people claiming to have monkeypox all suspiciously were located in Atlanta, where the CDC is located. So do they really have monkeypox? I don't know. Let's talk about the March of Dimes. The March of Dimes is a United States nonprofit gypsy-run organization that robs, distributes, and steals money from everyone. No, I'm just kidding. The March of Dimes is a U.S. nonprofit organization that works to improve the health of mothers and babies. And this is where we get to the good part. The organization was founded. I didn't know any of this stuff. This is why social media, they say, well, I think this is what it is. Thinking is not research, okay? Because for years, I thought that the March of Dimes was kind of fishy, but I never knew that it was actually founded by FDR in 1938 as the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis to Combat Polio. So he actually founded the March of Dimes, okay? The name March of Dimes was coined by Eddie Cantor after funding Jonas Salk's polio vaccine. The organization expanded its focus to prevent the birth defects and After funding Jonas Salk's polio vaccine, the organization, which is March of Dimes, expanded its focus to the prevention of birth defects and infant mortality. And years ago, I did a bunch of shows about the U.S. has higher infant mortality and higher levels of women that die in childbirth than just about any country in the entire world. I mean, we rival all of the people in Africa when it comes to death in the hospital of the mothers and the children. So clearly, if the March of Dimes, since all these years, has been to protect the mothers and the children, I have to say they've done kind of a lousy job. But let me keep reading here. It's all about the money. They don't give a shit if your kid has polio. They're the ones giving kids polio. The 1945, the annual March of Dimes campaign raised $18.9 million in 1945. I don't know how much that money is today, but 1945, they raised $18.9 million. When Salk vaccine were declared safe and effective in 1955, church bells across the country were rung and the nation celebrated. Literally, all the churches rang their bells through this country. Starting to smell the collusion? By 1957, the incident of polio in the U.S. had dropped by 90%. Boy, isn't that amazing? We're so lucky we had FDR around. Don't forget, FDR is from the Brussels, Belgium area. He also made all of his money on the opium trade in China. So, where was I here? Let me see. Okay, I found this article. It said, the March of Dimes, a revolutionary charity. In 1952, I was born in 1951. I think I might have gotten a polio vaccine. But anyway, in 1952, polio was America's second greatest fear. Nuclear attack was number one. This person said, my mother gave us all a polio test every day. Could we touch our toes and put our chins to our chest? Every stomach ache or stiffness caused a panic. Was it polio? I remember the awful photos of children on crutches, in wheelchairs, and iron lungs, and coming back to school in September to see the empty desk where the children hadn't returned. The worst polio outbreak in America was in 1952. There were 57,000 recorded cases. 21,000 people became paralyzed. 3,000 people died. And the March of Dimes is born. FDR helped create the March of Dimes to help fight polio. Its job was to raise money, ching, 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 to help people. No, evil has to come packaged as help. They want your money. They don't want to help you. So what happened was, its job was to raise money to help people with polio and to fund research for a cure. It changed the fight against polio and how nonprofits work. So the March of Dimes was a real trailblazer in gathering up that money. They asked for smaller donations. Most charities at the time focused on asking wealthy people to donate big sums of money. March of Dimes asked a lot of people to donate a little. It was during the Great Depression and times were tight, but everyone could donate a dime to help a child recover from polio. In one of the first advertising campaigns, they asked everyone to donate a dime and send it to the White House. In just 1 month, people sent 2,680,000 dimes to the White House. White House manager Ira Smith explains what those days were like. The roof fell in on me. We kept getting in incredible numbers, and the government of the United States darn near stopped functioning because we couldn't clear away enough dimes. It was 4 months before we cleared up the debris. The March of Dimes was the most revolutionary philanthropic effort in the United States history. And they did it. They were the first to use poster children. They were the first to use celebrities, including Marilyn Monroe and Elvis Presley. By 1945, March of Dimes had raised $19 million. Apart from the Red Cross, no charity had raised more money. Thanks to the funding from the March of Dimes, on April the 12th, 1955, the Salk vaccine was declared safe and effective. This moment has been called one of the greatest celebrations in modern American history. Church bells were ringing across the country. Factories were observing moments of silence. Synagogues and churches were holding prayer meetings, and parents and teachers were weeping. One shopkeeper painted a sign on his window that said, "Thank you, Dr. Salk." It was as if the war had ended. And of course, that vaccine and the Sabin vaccine, which March of Dimes also funded, was used to tackle polio around the world. And pay attention to this. Today, polio is close to becoming just the second disease to be eradicated. And they're finding it. Polio still exists in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And they say, and a big part of that, we can thank the March of Dimes. Well, I'm not thanking them for sure, but hey, here's the lessons they learn. Small things add up. Sometimes we need a lot of people to do a little, one dime. That's all people were asked to donate, but it added up. So that was exactly how the March of Dimes got started by FDR. So was he really paralyzed? Well, I don't know. It sounds like a fake disease to me, but of course, you know, you can decide for yourself. But he might have had something wrong with his legs because he wasn't always photographed. The photographers or the press supposedly didn't photograph him in his wheelchair. And I don't know. Maybe he had something wrong with his legs and he felt better rolling around his wheelchair sometimes and he just felt lazy, right? It was like I've talked about those people wearing those turbans over in the Middle East. If I was going to be a player on the game board like they are, you know, big player, I would have probably picked myself out a turban to wear because, hey, turbans, yeah, not have to worry about your hair in the morning. You just rock that turban all day. So all of these things are just nothing but tricks to get you to part with money to make you feel sorry. And I would have to say the polio vaccine has worked very well in the communications area because if you mention to just somebody offhandedly that you don't believe the polio vaccine is a good thing, I just imagine, let's say you just casually, not trying to tell people what to do, but let's say you just kind of casually mention to somebody that you're kind of thinking the polio vaccine must not be true. Well, people will give you an earful, okay? They will accuse you of all kinds of things. They will accuse you of hating children, wanting children to live in wheelchairs. They get very radically defensive over this polio business. And it has been, I would have to say, their biggest, longest running campaign to raise money by making people feel sorry for those kids. Of course, I feel very sorry for those kids. Those kids were given that polio that made them go blind and put them in those wheelchairs. So, yeah, talk about twisting something that was evil into something that was good, right? They feel like they're the saviors, right? Out here to save all these kids, when in reality, they're the ones who gave the kids the disease. So it's kind of like you got to be careful who you're worshiping as far as heroes. These people have a pretty long history of a lot of pretty, I would say, destructive things towards the rest of us, but just my opinion. So I'm going to close off this show. I don't know if he was really should have been in that wheelchair or not. I think it was pretty convenient. Because really, when things start going bad for FDR, it really provides a good cover, right? Who's going to go up and yell at a guy in a wheelchair, right? It's kind of like it builds in a sympathy factor right from the beginning. I mean, you would look like a really petty person for going up to FDR and spouting off about, hey, you don't really need to be in that wheelchair, do you? So it sets us into a different kind of communication because it diminishes what we're able to say because they're presenting some lie. But if we challenge the lie, then we're the ones who look cruel and heartless, right? So anyway, be safe out there and goodbye for now. I'll talk to you later.